Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today, and we look forward to studying the Bible with you this morning. We're looking at Luke chapter 9 today, beginning in verse 37, and we're going to be talking about a case of demon possession. And when we look at this story, we're again somewhat tempted to think, well, we don't have demon possession today, and we don't see demons being cast out in our time, so what can we learn from this? And yet, when we look at this story in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 37, I think that we're going to see quite a few lessons here that do pertain to our lives and do pertain to our time, and especially the lesson of faith. So let's begin then in Luke chapter 9, verse 37. Here's where the Bible says, "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him." Now that's an unclean spirit or a demon. "And suddenly he cries out, and it tears him, that he foams again and bruises him hardly, departing from him." So he said, my son here, my child, has this demon, and this demon causes him to go into convulsions. This demon causes him to have seizures, and they couldn't do anything about this. They couldn't cast the demon out. They couldn't cure him. And the Bible says that this man told Jesus in verse 40, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." Now, you'll remember when this chapter opens, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, if you want to turn back there, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils." So why is it then, if Jesus gave his disciples power and authority over these demons, why couldn't they cast this demon out? Now, we're going to come back to that question in a few minutes, but I want you to think about that. I want this question to lodge in your mind. This man said, "I went to your disciples." Evidently, he either believed, had heard, or knew that these disciples had cast demons out of other people. And so this man wants his son to be cured. He wants this demon to be cast out of his own son. So he takes his son to these disciples. They try it, but they couldn't do it. Now the Bible says in verse 41, "And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming," the Bible says, "the devil threw him down and tear him." He went into convulsions again. "And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." Well, the Bible says, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." Now, we've said several times that Jesus did these miracles, not simply to help people, not simply to cure people, although that was a great benefit to these people, obviously, who received the benefits of these miracles. But Jesus worked these miracles to show God's power, to prove that God's power was at work, and in order to verify that Jesus was the Messiah, to prove that he was the Son of God, that he had power on the earth to forgive sins, and that he was the one that the Old Testament had prophesied of. So the miracles were designed to create faith in Jesus Christ. But the interesting thing here is what we're going to find in some other passages that record this same event. Now we're going to go back to, and we're going to visit today, Matthew chapter 17 and Mark chapter 9, because in those chapters you find this same story being recorded. And in Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start there. In verse 14, that's where this story begins, and this is where the man comes to Jesus, and he kneels down and he tells Jesus about his son and about his demon possession. The Bible says he gives some details in verse 15. He is a lunatic, that is, he's out of his mind. He is sore vexed. He suffers greatly, that is, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. So we said before that when people were demon possessed, that we don't find these demons going around and hurting other people. There's one exception to that, and for a specific reason, of course, in Acts chapter 19. But in regard to the person who was demon-possessed, we do find that this demon was trying to harm that child or that son, and they could not cure him. The Bible says in verse 16, "I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Jesus then rebuked the devil in verse 18. And the disciples had a question. Now remember, they'd been used to casting out demons from other people. And they come to this one case, and they can't do it. They know that God has given them the power. They know that the power didn't come from them. It came from heaven. So why is it that they could not cast out the demon, but Jesus could? That's what they want to know in verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." So when you look at the cases of these miracles in the New Testament, the disciples' faith or the disciples' belief did play a part in those miracles. And because the disciples did not have faith here, or they did not have enough faith, then they could not perform this miracle. So Jesus plainly says, it's because of your unbelief. "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So Jesus said, you really have to give your earnest effort. You really have to give your attention. You have to give your time, and you really have to concentrate here by prayer and by fasting. So yes, there was a role that the apostles' faith played in the executing of this particular miracle right here. And because they fell down in or fell short on their side of the miracle and its being performed, then the miracle didn't happen. Now let me give you an example of another type of miracle that was worked in the first century where the will of the people that worked the miracles had something to do with the exercise of that miracle. You remember over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that Paul talks a lot about tongue speakers. And there were several members of the church at Corinth that could speak in tongues. Now one of the problems there in the church at Corinth is that some of these tongue speakers were all trying to speak at the same time, and that was creating confusion. Even when people are speaking the same language and you've got two or three people trying to talk at the same time, well, you can't understand a word. You can't really understand what's being said, and you can't really get anything said that's beneficial. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells those tongue speakers that they need to speak in turn. And he tells the tongue speakers also, look, if there is no interpreter there, then you keep silence. Then he tells the prophets. Now remember, these are all miraculous gifts. These are all being done by miraculous power. He tells the prophets, if anything be revealed by miraculous inspiration now, if anything be revealed to another, that is to another prophet sitting by, let the first hold his peace. Well, there's a prophet then, and the Bible tells him to hold his peace. So you see, you have tongue speakers, and you have prophets in the early church, and Paul is telling them there is a time to exercise that gift, and there is a time to be quiet. So what does that tell you? It tells you that when these people had miraculous power, that their will played a role in how it was executed. They were not just caught up in some kind of trance and unable to even be aware of what was going on around them so that they would speak in tongues or prophesy and that they could not possibly hold it back or restrain it in any way. That's not what happened, because we find that Paul tells them that they were wrong for trying to speak at the same time and run over each other, and he tells them to speak in turn. Well, I know that that's not demon possession, but what I'm saying here is that when it came to the exercising of these miraculous gifts and powers, that the human part played a role. And so we find that in this case in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus said, if you're going to cast out a demon like this. So in other words, there were different kinds of demons. There were some that were more fierce, evidently, than others. And it took more effort on their part to cast those demons out. Now, I'm not saying that they were different in terms of their appearance because they were inside of bodies. You didn't see a demon out floating around and see some kind of ghost and say, there's a demon. These demons inhabited the bodies of people. So it's not because they look different. It's because they were different as far as their evil and their meanness was concerned. So Jesus said this kind, that is this kind of demon, is not going to be cast out unless you pray a lot and unless you fast a lot and unless you really believe that God's power is at work here. But I want to get over to Mark chapter 9 because in Mark chapter 9 we have a statement here that I believe is very, very practical for us. And this time it has to do not with the faith of the apostles, but with the faith of the Father of the Son. The Bible says in verse 22 of Mark chapter 9 that the Father said after he told Jesus that the demon had been in him since he was a child. He says in verse 22, it ofttimes cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. What does he mean here when he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief? Did he believe or did he not believe? Well, folks, the simple fact is this. There was a part of him that believed, and there was a part of him that had trouble believing. And I think that as we look at ourselves, we can relate to what he's talking about right here. Because you see, doubt is one of the favorite weapons of the devil himself. If he can get us to doubting, then he can get us to denying and even disobeying God's word. And so when we look at this man, we find somebody who believed in one sense, but there was a part of him that had trouble believing and believing like he knew he should. But this man knew he should believe. He wanted to believe, but he asked the Lord to help him. And I believe that that is a legitimate prayer for us to pray today. Lord, I believe. But we realize that there's a part of us, there is a side of us that needs to believe more, and we want to believe more. And what a wonderful prayer it is to be able to say to God, Lord, I do believe. I believe that you exist. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. But I want you to help my unbelief. I want you to increase my faith. And you know, later in Luke chapter 17, we're going to find in Luke 17 verse 5 that the apostles themselves came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. And how we need to pray that prayer today. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. And then we need to be ready to do what the Bible says, and that is to study to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. But also we find here that it is right for us to feel the need to pray to God to help us in that endeavor. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much, James 5, verse 16. Well, I have truly enjoyed studying this story with you today, and I hope that something that we have said has helped you in some way, and we'll look forward to studying with you again, Lord willing, on the program. Thank you for tuning in today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.